We're doing Netivot Shalom on Parshat Pinchas. Our subject is Parshat HaKorbanot, the section about the sacrifices. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor, the parasha says, God said to Moshe the following, Tzavet b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem, command the Jewish people, tell them, et korbani lachmi li'ishai reach nichochi, tishmeru lakriv li mado. Ensure that the constant sacrifice that's brought every morning and every evening be brought in a constant basis. It will be an offering before me. Bo'ochaim HaKadosh Makshe, the Holy Orachaim asks, Lama nisdera parshat korbanot rak kan achar minu Yoshua? Why do we find the order of sacrifices, the daily sacrifice, the Shabbos sacrifice, Rosh Chodesh sacrifice, all the different holiday sacrifices we have in our parasha, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's all here, only after Yoshua is appointed as the following leader? Why is that the order? Hare HaKorbanot, when we look at the sacrifices, Nahagu, 40 Shana, all 40 years, Shayu Bamidbar, that the Jewish people were in the desert, they were bringing the sacrifices, Me'etru Kama Mishkan, from the second they established the tabernacle. Uminu Yoshua, and establishing Yoshua as the next leader, Hayarak Bishnat 40, that was only meant in the 40th year. Umadua, Eifo, so then why katva haTorah kan et mitzvah haKorbanot? Why does the Torah tell us the mitzvah of Korbanos here? Shouldn't it have been in the beginning of the 40 years? They were doing it all 40 years. Now at the end of the 40 years, after the next leader is already appointed, we go back and say, by the way, all the sacrifices, this is what you should do. This commandment was given a long time ago. Why was it written here? V'chen yesh leva'er, we also have to explain, hasmichut ben haParshiyot. First question was, why was it detained till here? Second question is, what's the connecting theme between the story of Yoshua's appointment and the sacrifices? Even though ordinarily we know that the order of the Torah is not a chronological order, but there, the contrary, we say, even if it's not a chronological order, then you have to ask, why is it juxtaposed? So then why are things written in this order? Third question, why over here does the Torah say, Tzavet b'nei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people? In other areas of sacrifices, the Torah says, tell the Kohanim, tell Aaron, tell his family. That's their responsibility. So then, why is all of Israel being given this commandment of the sacrifices? Fourth question. Hashem says, I want you to watch over bringing these sacrifices. The word watch over is a term for prohibition. Tishmeru. Be careful. It's a warning. You're telling me what yes to do, and yet you're using a term of what not to do. The Torah says, command the Jewish people, tishmeru. Be careful to bring the sacrifices in their set time. The word tishmeru means, I'm warning you not to over, don't transgress this. It's a negative warning. Why? So he says in the book Noam Elimelech, that's the Hasidic work of Rabbi Elimelech Milizhansk. Noam Elimelech, the Hasidim believe just owning the book is an amulet. When my wife was expecting, she comes from a Hasidic family, so her grandfather called and said, do you own a Noam Elimelech? So I said, no. So he said, I'm getting you one. So he said, I don't think I'm going to learn it in the near future. He said, it doesn't matter. Your house has to have a Noam Elimelech. The Hasidim believe just owning the book protects the house. Okay. Got me a Noam. Now I own a Noam Elimelech. Okay.
Jewish concept?
Yeah, we don't ask such questions. We do have the idea that owning, having something, you see, the idea of having a Sefer Torah in one's presence is considered to elevate a person. It says that when they would sanctify the new moon, someone would be holding the Sefer Torah. You have the idea that, according to one opinion, a minor holding a Sefer Torah counts like an adult. A katan, when you want to have 10 people for a minyan, there is an opinion that says 9 plus a katan holding a Sefer Torah counts as 10. So you see the idea of having something in your possession affecting you. That's what Rav Pesach Zatzal told me when I asked him once.
That's 12 and a half.
People say, no, people will sometimes say, you go first, you're holding a sefer. So he once told me to go first because I was holding a sefer. So I was embarrassed. He's the rabbi, why should I go first? I said, Rebbe, is there a source for that? So he told me this Gemara. He said, because the Gemara in Tractate Brachos says that a minor holding a Sefer Torah can count as an adult. You see that when someone holds a Sefer, that's also considered like he's on a higher level. So it sounds like there is a source for it. Coming back to here. So the Naam Elimelech says that every generation has something they have to fix. We have to do all 613, and all 613 are always our responsibility. But every generation has their mitzvah that's, they have to fix that mitzvah in that generation. And then Am Yisrael has to dedicate themselves for that mitzvah. Rav Kook's son said that in our generation the mitzvah is tzniut. That's what he said. He said you have to go all out for tzniut. That's what Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kohen Kook Zatzal said, that our generation's challenge is in the area of tzniut, and that's why he said people have to be super careful. That's our mitzvah. He said that's our challenge in our generation. So he said, the Noam Elimelech said, in his generation, the mitzvah to focus on was tzitzit. And that's why it says, Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya bedorotav. That means Noach was able to be tzaddik, to fix the mitzvah of his generation. Every generation has 613 mitzvot to fulfill, and one mitzvah that, so to speak, they have to work extra hard on. So in that generation, the Noam Elimelech told his generation, it's a mitzvah of tzitzis. There have been, throughout the generations, times that tzaddikim said to the generation, we have to focus on this one. And when you see a mitzvah that Am Yisrael is super careful about it, then you know that that's a sign that that's their mitzvah, that generation mitzvah. And that's what the Netivot Shalom says, the Mishnah says, the world stands on three things. Torah, Avodah, Gmilut Chasadim. Learning Torah, doing the service of the temple, or prayer, and acts of kindness. What does that mean? Every generation has something within these three that's specific to that generation, an area of Torah, an area of Avodah, an area of Gemilut Chasadim. So Moshe's generation, their job was Torah. They had just received the Torah, their job was to focus on learning Torah. The Zohar, the Holy Zohar, says there never was and never will be a generation like that generation. Well, they had Moshe, and Moshe was uplifting the whole generation. 40 years, they're learning Torah from him. So, okay, that was their focus. And even when we find they did something wrong, so Chazal tell us it's not as simple as it seems. There's more to whatever transgression we read about. Yoshua's generation is coming into the land of Israel. So they're no longer the generation that's, their focus is Torah. Their focus is Avodah. They have to work, they're going to settle the land, they're going to develop. So Hashem wanted that generation to work. They were going to work hard, plowing the land, settling, building homes. Serving Hashem, when you serve Hashem, sometimes you have to sweat. There's a Hasidic thing, I think it's sourced in the Zohar, that says, when you sweat doing a mitzvah, so the sweat counts like tears to cleanse one of what one did wrong. Sweating, doing a mitzvah, is that sweat is a cleansing process for the person. So whenever we sweat doing a mitzvah, we say the source of all toils of doing a mitzvah is the work, avodah, in its purest form, is the work in the temple. So we said there's avodah, the work of the temple, which today would be the work of tefillah. What's the hardest thing you do in the day? Probably the hardest thing you do is davening. Go focus in davening, right? Can you focus all of Shmona Esrei? Can you stay focused for all of davening? Chazal call that avodah shebalev, the work of the heart. It's work. I would challenge a person to view that as their hardest task in the day. Can a person say, I did the hardest task successfully today? It's a hard task. I'm going to be focused. Chazal tell us, that's what he's saying here, that every other work I do begins with the work in prayer or in avodah of the Beit HaMikdash. All our service of Hashem is branches. It comes out of the service of the temple, or in our day, maybe we would say, the service of tefillah. Every work I do, every mitzvah I do, is rooted in my service of Hashem of korbanot or tefillah. An example of that, in the days of the temple, the korban musaf was a reflection of the spirit of the holiday. Today we would say that our Tfilat Musaf, our prayer in Shul, Tfilat Musaf, is also a reflection of the holiday. If you have a good chazan, if you have the Tfilah the way it should be. So the soul of Yom Tov is expressed through the sacrifice, or we might say today through the prayer. So now let's look again. Yahushua is appointed as the next leader of Israel. And then Hashem gives us the commandment of the sacrifices. And that's to reiterate to them that although the previous generation, their focus was all through Torah, but now they're going to be a generation that's going to toil, and their toil has to be through the service of the prayer, the korbanot. And that's why Hashem says, command the Jewish people. It's not just the Kohanim. This is something that's supposed to affect all of us, the avodah, the service of Hashem. And that's why we find the sacrifices are called, Hashem says, they're my bread, they're my pleasant flame. Hashem says, I want everything else you do to be an outgrowth of that, which we would translate in our day and age to prayer. There's a guy that says, I got to run out of prayer, I have an important day today. And there's a guy that says, I got to run to prayer, I have an important day today. Which way am I going? If I have an important day, then I better run to shul. I better make sure God's on my side if it's an important day. But how many times does a person say, I got to run out of shul because I have an important day today? Chazal taught us, our viewpoint should be that everything I do is going to come out of that prayer. I begin my day there. I begin my day connecting to Hashem. The middle of the day, I end my day connecting to Hashem. So then my whole day is supposed to be an outgrowth of that. Yes?
Aren't we judged by how we act?
And therefore?
I'm not saying that tefillah, I don't know how to phrase this question correctly, but you're saying, I need to make sure God's on my side. But what about, what have you been doing the whole week? What have you been doing the whole month?
That too. But that's like saying, when the king takes a look at your taxes at the end of the year, he's going to gauge, have you been faithful, have you been honest? But then you talk to the king in the morning before you're going to need his assistance or his backing. Well, you're just talking to him. Yes, in general, Hashem looks at what we do. But you're talking to him right now. The prayer is, I'm connecting to Hashem before I start my day. The tefillah. Sfardim have an amazing custom. Many Sfardim won't talk to you before davening. Now, Halacha says you shouldn't be busy with other things, but Sfardim take it a step further. There are many Sfardim that go, it's like they're not allowed to talk. I don't know if you guys have encountered this yet, but a Sfardim who won't say a word before they pray. Because the first thing they have to say is they have to talk to God. I understand you're telling me good morning. I understand you want to know if my products are on sale. I understand you want to offer me a business deal. We'll talk after prayer. My day begins, let me talk to God, then I'll talk to you. This is so Ashkenazim don't usually take it that far. Ashkenazim usually does, we're not supposed to do other things before our prayer, but we do say good morning and how are you and whatever. But we could learn from them. So we are supposed to be focused on getting to davening first and only then dealing with our other things. So he says a beautiful pshat. Why does it say Tishmeru? We said the term Tishmeru says watch over the sacrifices as though a prohibition. So he says no, the word Tishmeru also means to pause in anticipation. The word Lishmor also means to anticipate. So the Torah is telling us when it comes to Korbanot, that's what the Kuzari writes. How does a Chassid live his day? Chassid in his terminology was 700 years before Chassidut developed, right? 600 years before Chassidut. How does a Chassid live? He's waiting for the next time, the next meeting he has with God. So Hashem says, when you come to serve me, it should be out of anticipation. I'm waiting to come close to Hashem. That's the idea of the sacrifice. That's the idea of our prayer. Yes?
Can you remind me which one is Zachor and which one is Shamor for Shabbat?
Zachor is active, Shamor is prohibitive. The word Shamor, he Shamer Pen Ve'al, the Talmud
says. Kiddush. So when you do Kiddush, it's
Zachor.
It's
the proactive, yeah. The Rebbe of Apta said that someone came to him and poured out his heart, telling him how many troubles he has. And the guy sees that the tzaddik, the Rebbe of Apta, isn't getting so upset. He's sharing his problems and he's not getting upset. So the tzaddik of Apta saw the guy, felt he should have been more upset. So he said to him, you know, we didn't bring a sacrifice this morning. I don't see you worried about that. And his point was, your worries are all about yourself. There are bigger worries. There's the worry of the individual. There's the worry. There are bigger worries in this world. That's the famous story of the Rebbe, that a guy came to him and asked him for a blessing. And the Rebbe said, you should have many problems. You guys know the story? So the guy says, Rebbe, what was the blessing in that? So he said, when all your problems are little, then you have many problems. You have a problem that your shoe is too tight. You have a problem that there's a leak in your house. You have a problem that you're not sure if your fridge is working correctly. You have a problem that you're not sure if you're going to get the raise you want at the end of the year. You have many problems. But if a person, God forbid, has a serious problem, nothing else matters to them. They have one problem. The blessing of having many problems is that they're all small. So he's saying they very often we're very, very taken by our little problems in our lives. And a person has to see the bigger picture. To my mind, that's one of the benefits of learning Torah. When you come to learn Torah, you suddenly realize there's a bigger world. There's more meaning. I'm a part of it, and my needs are a part of it. But it's a different perspective on life. What is the Song of Songs? Rashi explains that's a song we sing in our exile. What is the Song of Songs? It's a song of yearning. It's we work together, and then you disappeared. Where are you? It was a fleeting moment. It seems like it's been a long time since we've been together. Where are you? That's the Song of Songs is the song of the Jewish people throughout the exile. We are this Shabbos hitting Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, right? The 3 weeks that denote the period of the destruction of the temple, right? So what are these 3 weeks? We won't take haircuts, Ashkenazim. We won't shave. We won't listen to music. We won't make weddings. What are we doing? We're mourning the destruction of the temple. What are we really doing? We're re-arousing within ourselves that yearning for a temple, for a better connection with the Ribon Shalom. These are days that are supposed to bring us closer. Closer to the rebuilding of the temple and closer to Hashem. And our sages say when you deal in the Torah of the sacrifices, it's as though you brought the sacrifices. You deal with them. And so too we're supposed to deal with the idea that we no longer have a temple. The Tzaddikim wrote that the 22 days between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, and then the 10th of Av, they correspond to the 22 days of from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah to the end of Sukkot, Toshmini Atzeret. Also 22 days. And when you draw a painting, so sometimes you draw a black background, and on top of that, you can draw even white. So you want all the colors to come out. So these days are the black background to the holiness. This is our starting point. We've had a destruction. We're going to build on that, and this is this time reflects our yearning for closeness to Hashem. This is a theme that he paints vividly in another piece. He says, "When is a father's love greatest for his son?" So one might say a father's love is greatest for his son when he hugs him and kisses him. A father's love is greatest for him when he reaches a milestone. A father's love is greatest for him, he says, on the day that the father has to be the surgeon and the son has to undergo a surgery and he has to take the knife and cut his son. He has to amputate the son's leg and he knows he's saving his life. So the father's standing there with the knife and he's doing the most difficult of tasks and he knows he's doing it for the son's benefit, even though the son is in pain and he's doing something that's going to hurt the son, but he knows he's doing what's best for the son. It's at that moment that the father has to pour all his love into that action. That, he expresses in another piece, he says, that's the love of the period of the destruction of the temple. Hashem says, I have to amputate, I have to take down the temple, but it's so that you guys will continue existing the way you're supposed to. So these days are days of closeness. We're not crying for the sake of crying. We're crying out of yearning. The crying of these days, these 3 weeks, is a yearning towards that closeness, towards the rebuilding of the temple, towards the return of the service which is commanded in our parsha.